Chapter 7.
Korolos's memories of the early days of the Great Crusade were stark. Those dawning years had been proud, filled with hope and certainty. The doubts had come later. He remembered it so clearly. He could see the Eldar bladesman before him, taunting him, drawing him on. The Xenos commander was a blur of movement, cutting through the Harkon Geno troops like chaff. They were chaff, just augmented humans of the Imperial army. So intent on killing the alien fiend had he been, so intent on claiming that honour, that he'd become isolated from the main vanguard. He had 200 ultramarines with him, cut off from the rest of the company, just as the enemy had intended. The keening screams of the Xenos haunted him even now. The Eldar had fallen upon them from all sides, cutting them down with their exotic deadly weapons, tearing through the ranks on scything jetbike attack runs, their screaming witches somersaulting through whole squads, leaving severed limbs and shattered dreams in their wake. He had lost more than just the 174 loyal sons of Ultramar that day, more than the additional 318 that had died coming to his aid. He had lost more than just his captaincy. He had lost the respect of his legion. He had lost respect for himself. Worst of all, he had seen disappointment in the eyes of his Primarch. That disapproval had cut him to the core, and it was a wound that would never heal. For 17 years, he wore his shame outwardly, fighting as a common legionary with his helm painted red, seeking an honourable death in battle. Finally, it had come for him. On Cenosia IV he had collapsed, surrounded by a circle of slain foes, blood spilling from his lips. At last he would have peace. But even then his trial was not yet done. The oblivion he craved was not to be his fate. He had fallen as Brother Aventine Coriol, but he had awoken again in an armoured shell that he might live on. He bore his new name, Korolos, engraved upon his chest plate, yet his shame was not lessened in this new incarnation. His pain was as strong as ever. He had not yet done enough to atone for his misdeeds to be allowed the peace of oblivion. How could he ever atone? He saw the word-bearers before him now as grey, pixelated blurs. Blinking target locks identified them, and he processed the abundance of information delivered directly into his cortex in a nanosecond. The power levels of their armour, their heart rates, the clipped commands being streamed back and forth across their Vox network, the mark and place of manufacture of their armour plate, the model and threat level of their weaponry. Within the stinking amniotic fluid of his cramped sarcophagus, his atrophied claw-like hands twitched, and the immense power fists of his newer mechanical flesh clenched into fists. He vocalized his anger, shame, and frustration as he thundered towards them. While a few errant bubbles did escape his withered organic throat, the roar that blared from the vox emitters on his carapace was the bellow of a beast of iron and rage.
Saw Talgron walked beneath the mountain, his steps echoing in the empty silence. The halls were narrow but tall, their upper reaches brightly lit in sterile white light. There were no shadows in the prison complex known as the Vault. There was nowhere to hide. His path was circuitous and winding, but he did not hesitate. The data upload of the complex's layout guided him on. The doors, elevators, and corridors that he passed were heavily reinforced, security locked and encoded. But those before him opened willingly, ushering him deeper into the belly of the mountain. Everything had been organized. His way had been cleared. He would encounter no resistance and no difficulties. He had not seen a soul since disembarking from the black ornithopter that had brought him here to Kangbamawu, far beneath the icy peak of Rakaposhi. Stepping onto the landing pad, sunk hundreds of meters below the mountain's surface, there had been no welcoming party, No armed guards, no security detail. Sentry cannons sat idle, their barrels turned passively aside. The entrance into the vast prison complex lay open before him, the adamantium-reinforced portal gaping, beckoning him in. The complex was one of the most highly secure locations on Terra, yet Saw Talgron walked straight into it without any challenge. A hint of a smile touched his lips, though none would have seen it, hidden beneath the barbarous scowl of his battle helm, even if there had been anyone nearby. Ceiling-mounted picked recorders turned aside at his approach. There would be no record of his passing in the data archives. A green blinking icon in the corner of his eye indicated that he was approaching his destination. He tapped a code into a keypad, which retracted sharply into its console, and a wall panel slid aside to reveal a black screen. Saw Talgron removed his helm and stared into its depths as a retinal scan was conducted. The bulk of the vault's security protocols had been overridden, but a few of these last measures were not so simply bypassed. Nevertheless, his biometrics had been inputted into the system and marked with the highest clearance, at least in this one small subsection of the jail. The door's interlocking mesh fingers released their grip, and the two halves of the portal slid aside. Saw Talgron stepped through into a small holding area, similar to an airlock on a void-capable ship. He saw himself reflected in the mirrored windows on either side of the cell, a hulking grey warrior in functional, brutish iron armour. The lenses of his helmet glowed like burning embers. His worn battleplate looked out of context in these clinical, harshly lit surrounds. He was an anomaly here. His suit's internal systems told him that he was being scanned, checking him against the data that had been logged into the system at Dawn's order. He resisted the urge to clench his fists. A moment later, whatever security protocols were in play were met, and the last door retracted before him, allowing Saw Talgron access to the prisoner beyond. The room was circular and expansive, and targeting icons instantly flashed up on his helm's visor display, latching on to the autocannon-slaved servitor turrets hanging from the ceiling. They were surgically grafted into articulated cupolas at various points around the room, hardwired to their mono-task. He watched them cautiously, but they panned by, not appearing to register his presence. Saw Talgron blink-scrolled the icons away and stepped across the threshold. In the centre of the room was a fully enclosed cylindrical cell. The curved walls were made of thick armour glass, revealing the occupant within, a figure with the build of one of the Legionis Astartes, kneeling as if in meditation, or perhaps even prayer. Saw Talgron walked closer, studying him. He was clad in a yellow prison body glove, which did nothing to hide his immense physique, and he sat motionless with his hands upon his thighs, legs folded underneath him and eyes closed. His eyelids were tattooed, as was the entire left half of his face, with Colchisian cuneiform. His hair was black gone to grey and shoulder length, and he wore it braided at his temples in the manner of an acolyte in the Colchisian custom. He had bone and iron earrings hanging from his lobes, another concession to the customs of the home world of the Urizen. His skin was the colour of rich teak and deeply lined. Saw Talgron hit the simple coded door release and stepped inside. The walls within were frosted and impermeable, one-way glass. Saw Talgron removed his helmet, and the other word-bearer opened his eyes slowly, as though waking from a deep sleep.
"I knew you were coming," said the prisoner. "I foresaw it."
He stood, hefting himself to his feet. He was big, almost as tall as Saw Talgron in his armour. His eyes were dark and severe, with flecks of gold swimming in their depths.
"Predicant Volkar Reth," said Saw Talgron, bowing in respect. "It has been a long time."
The prisoner smiled, exposing dark metal teeth.
I have not heard that title in many years, he said. It's good to see you, lad.
Put this on, said Saw Talgron, tossing a plain robe to him. It's time you left this place.
They encountered no one on their way out. Everything had gone as planned. There had been no unexpected complications. Saw Talgron and Volkar Reth boarded the Ornithopter, the latter cloaked and hooded, his features hidden from those who might casually recognize him. The light craft's gullwing doors sealed, muting the ascending whine of its pinion engines and cutting them off from the icy, low-oxygenated air outside. The Ornithopter rose up the vulcanized vertical shaft, blast shutters capable of withstanding orbital bombardment opening above to allow them through.
The rumors are true, then, said Volkar Reth.
They are, said Saw Talgron.
With his helm back on, his voice was transformed into its usual mechanical growl.
Tell me everything, said Reth.
It was a Contemptor, a hulking machine of adamantium and ceramite, and it smashed into the word-bearers with the force of an assault ram. Easily as tall as 3 legionaries, it covered the ground in swift, thunderous steps and smashed 4 of them aside with the first sweep of an arm. Shields crumpled and bones were shattered as the legionaries were sent flying, crashing against the wall 5 meters away. Another was crunched beneath its heavy tread, and 3 more smashed aside, limbs flailing as they were hurled through the air by its next blow. The shield wall shattered. Bolts and gouts of plasma did nothing to slow the beast, as the word-bearers backed away, firing into its armored chassis. It grabbed one around the torso, massive fingers circling his body, and unleashed the fury of the melter gun implanted into its palm. A searing hole was scorched through the legionary, and it tossed the dead warrior aside. The Ultramarines and Imperial Army soldiers around the perimeter had risen from cover, the bolters and lasguns in their hands barking and snapping as they fired upon the disarrayed word-bearers. One of the 13th Legion warriors vaulted a barricade and buried a sparking power axe in the head of a word-bearer. In answer, Saw Talgron stepped forwards and slammed his boarding shield into the Ultramarine, sending him reeling. Then levelled his bolter to finish him off. Before he could pull the trigger, an overcharged lasblast glanced off his shoulder pad, knocking him off balance and sending his kill shot wide. He stepped back to join his legionaries, bolter barking in his hand. Another ultramarine, armed with a modified long-barreled bolter, snapped off 2 quick shots, taking out 2 more of Saw Talgron's warriors, his shots shearing through the armor of their helms like nails driven through eggshells. Specialist ammunition, Saw Talgron registered, more from the sound of the projectiles than their effect. Kraken bolts. From the corner of his eye, he saw Jerilek roll under the Contemptor's arm as the dreadnought swung at him. The Dark Apostle came smoothly to his feet and brained a black-armored enemy soldier, his Crozius hissing and spitting with energy. The servitor-driven laser destroyer whined as it reached full power once more, and Saw Talgron saw the ident runes of 2 more of his legionaries fade into darkness in the corner of his display, slain as the laser destroyer fired. Saw Talgron moved away from the murderous juggernaut that was the Contemptor, his measured fire taking out 1 of the Ultramarines, a plainly armored legionary yet to earn any adornments of rank or honor. He ran dry and maglocked his bolter at his hip, drawing his newly acquired Volkite pistol smoothly. His first shot blew out the chest of a soldier. Flames jetted from the dying man's back, incinerating another.
Spread out,
he ordered.
Dal'ak,
he said, activating his Voxlink.
How long?
Inbound, came Dal'ak's reply. 30 seconds.
The Contemptor turned its massive red helm, its murderous gaze locking onto Saw Talgron. It had heard his orders, he realized. It recognized him as a ranking officer. It came around, lurching in his direction with a grind of gears and servos. It raised 1 of its huge simian arms as it charged, and flames gushed from the palm of its taloned hand. Saw Talgron lifted his boarding shield to bear the brunt of the burning Prometheum.
He backed away, his shield arm on fire, and fired his pistol, aiming at the Contemptor's head. His shots left scorched craters in its visor, but did not slow it, and Saul Talgron hurled himself to the side as it swung for him. It caught him a glancing blow, buckling his shield and staggering him into a plasteel pillar. The Contemptor stalked towards him, the light of its eye lenses glowing balefully. A heavy blow to its mechanized knee knocked it off balance, and it staggered, crashing to one knee and steadying itself with a hand on the ground. Sergeant Talakus brought his thunderhammer around for another strike, aimed at the same joint. It was easily capable of damaging even such a machine as a Contemptor. If the blow connected, it would cripple the massive beast. The blow did not connect. The Contemptor caught the swing in its free fist. Its massive fingers closed around the siege sergeant's forearms, crumpling his vambraces like tin and snapping both wrists. Helpless, the struggling legionary was lifted off the ground. The Contemptor brought its other fist up, splaying its fingers to reveal its palm-mounted flamer, the pilot light glowing blue. Talakus roared as he was bathed in burning promethium. His roar became a scream as his armor blackened and cracked and his flesh began to cook. The dreadnought ended his agonized cries, snatching up his flailing legs and ripping him apart in one violent motion. It hurled his remains in different directions and swung back towards Saul Talgron. Nevertheless, Talakus's death had brought them much-needed time. The countdown on Saul Talgron's visor display blinked to zero. There was a blinding flash and a sharp bang of displacing air. Five figures appeared where there had been none before, standing in a protective cordon around the captain. Shimmering light coalesced across the massive curved plates of their cataphracti armored forms.
"Take it down," ordered Saul Talgron.